Welcome back to the Press Box. This hour is brought to you by Dark Soil CBD.
Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano in San Diego, Bob Ramsey in St. Louis. Rob Range joins us now. Rob, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Frank. I didn't know you were in San Diego.
Yes, sir. So Bob and I are going to kind of rotate back and forth with some questions with you and some conversation here on the Cardinals. Let's begin with Adam Wainwright. I think there's a real concern with 22 innings, 13 runs, 32 hits. I guess the most troubling stat in September is 8 strikeouts to 6 walks. He only had one last night. His swing and miss stuff is not there. The breaking ball is not sharp. We hope it's an aberration, but at 41, sometimes you get concerned. Your take on Adam as we speak.
Well, I think the concerning thing to me is that he's talking about that his arm feeling, you know, the dead arm stage, which I know sometimes you get at different points during the season, but, you know, this is not the time of the season that you want to have a dead arm. So that, to me, it, you know, I'm not overly alarmed by the results, but I'm more a little concerned by the way he's reacting to what's going on.
Yeah, and Rob, when you take a look at it, fatigue, dead arm, all those things, depending on the terminology you want to use, while we all admire and admired over the course of the year, game after game, 105 pitches, 110 pitches, 115, whatever it is, that at some point you do have to think about the fatigue thing. And it'll be interesting to see if they want to push him back a day or two or completely skip a start to try and get him right.
Right. And they're going to have to anticipate, you know, trying to at some point here. I know they've all talked about the fact they don't have anything clinched yet or whatever, but you're going to kind of be able to see the path ahead of you as far as the playoffs are concerned. And then you have to kind of work backwards from there and who's going to be your game one starter, who's going to be your game two starter, et cetera. And then get him a start before that. So he's ready to go. I don't think you want to miss the start right before the playoffs start, you know, so mm-hmm. You're supposed to pitch Sunday in Los Angeles. So I think that to me is the key game here to see if he makes that start or not. Cause I would think, you know, with the magic number being 6, at some point here, they're going to clinch this division. And then I think you can try to find a spot for him and Michaelis Bolle to miss a start here sometime in the next week or so that then we'll get them back lined up, you know, however they decide they want to line them up to start that wild card round.
Yeah. And one of the reasons it makes so much sense for what Bob just said is that you now have another guy, a 6-starter coming off the best outing of his 2022 in Dakota Hudson. And maybe the light has turned on. I mean, we know one of the reasons is he worked quicker in his last start because he had all those starts in Memphis where you had to work quicker. So it's not like you could have an outing that Dakota Hudson had and not get another start, right?
Well, they got him and they got Woodford, too. No, I mean, I think I wouldn't be scared to run Woodford out there in a game, especially against the Pirates, especially after you got the division clinched and you really got nothing, you know, to you're not going to improve your position because you're not going to get to that second seed, which will get you that bye in the first round, the way the Mets are playing and the Braves are playing. So whoever wins that division is going to be the number 2 seed. So you're pretty much locked into your spot. You don't know who you're going to play, but you winning or losing a game isn't going to impact who you're playing unless it's, I guess, against Milwaukee, which is one of the teams fighting for that wild card spot. So I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Woodford and Hudson both get starts or a couple of starts here down the stretch. I mean, they're fighting for a spot on the roster too. I mean, they may not necessarily be a starting pitching candidate for the postseason, but they're very much, I think, in the mix for, you know, how that bullpen is going to line up for that first round. So
Rob Range is with us, Rob. So what do we do about hitting? Isn't this been an unusual season where it felt like everybody on the team was hot into July and into August, and now everybody's cold? Very weird.
They were. Well, it's going to come down to this. I mean, if Goldschmidt and Arenado don't hit, they're not going to win.
Yep.
You don't have to get too complicated here. I mean, the other guys are nice players, and they've had good, you know, some success, you know, during the course of the season. But this club, is as far as offense is concerned, they're going to rise or fall with whatever those two guys do. And everything else, it's going to be complementary around them. You know, somebody has to get on base in front of them for them to get an RBI or a home run, you know, hit an RBI home run or something to drive in some runs. But if they don't hit, it doesn't really matter what anybody else does.
You know, Rob, they've had a season where players that maybe they weren't counting on stepped up and did extremely well for short stretches. Now, Donovan's done it all season, but you had Nootbaar. You had a stretch there with Gorman. Tyler O'Neill's been hurt, but he had a stretch. Paul DeJong, who's been ineffective, but he had a stretch. And yeah, now they're going to have to go back to – they're going to have to get – you know, a couple of other guys hitting for them to be successful. I agree with your premise about Arnaud and Goldschmidt, but one of those guys who's going to get a start tonight is Juan Yepes, and who would have thought a guy in Memphis last week could be one of the keys to the Cardinals down the stretch, because as I talked with Bob earlier about it, if he gets a couple of hits tonight, he's playing the next day, and he may play for a long time. They desperately need a bat.
Yeah, especially with O'Neill out. You know, especially from the right side, you know. But I think, you know, the other thing about the Memphis thing is it's a little bit weird this year, and it's going to be the same going forward as far as the rules are the same. You know, it used to be, you know, minor league season was over right around Labor Day. So there was no Memphis, you know, ability to go send guys to. You couldn't have sent Hudson there. You couldn't have sent Gorman there. Yepes couldn't have stayed there. I mean, basically you're using the Memphis games in September as your kind of taxi squad. I mean, there's guys that, you know, are going to be in Memphis, I think one of them right now, who's going to be on your postseason roster, I'm pretty sure. But he was just there this week to try to get some at-bats that he wouldn't have got on a regular basis. He can go down there and get, you know, 25 or 30 at-bats this week that he wouldn't have gotten in San Diego and Los Angeles. So, and try to get his swing correct. And basically, Yepes has been a guy that was deserved to be on the major league roster for the last month, but they didn't have a spot for him. Since you could only add those two extra guys, you know, you couldn't bring up, you know, 12 guys from Memphis like you've done in years past. So they're, you know, that's why I think this is kind of they're being smart, I think, about how they're using their roster and how they're anticipating, you know, getting, you know, who they want ready for the possible postseason.
And so the saga of center field continues. And it looks like Ollie at least suggested that he's got a right-handed outfield and a left-handed versus right-handed outfield versus left-handed outfield. So Carlson will be the guy. We'll see some Nootbaar out there. While we've had different so-called, with air quotes, regular center fielders until something happens, now it's kind of, well, let's piece it together and figure it out as we go.
Kind of seems that way, and, yeah. I agree with Frank's premise is that I think whoever gets hot is going to play.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's kind of you can have an idea of okay, I'm going to play these guys against this guy. But if somebody goes 3 for 4 and you know drives in a couple of runs, the way this offense is scuffling, I don't see you say okay, well now you're going to go back on the bench tomorrow. You know, so I think that it's very much a case of everybody kind of playing for a spot, and whoever has the most success is going to play. And you know, luckily they've got some flexibility. And not only do you have guys out there, but you've got guys who can be used in multiple ways. You know, I mean, different positions. You know, Newpark can play all three. You know, Carlson can play center or right. You've got, you know, Yepes can play left or right. You know, Donovan can play left or right. So they are able to mix and match, I think, sometimes maybe better than some of the outfields we've had in the past.
Yeah, it speaks to the depth of the organization. I mean, when you think about it, you thought your starting outfield, you thought you were going to get 140 games out of O'Neill, Bader, and Dylan Carlson. You certainly aren't. And yet, you have a chance to win 95 games and win this division by 10 games. I mean, let's face it. You know, in the old days, we had outfields like Reggie Sanders, Jim Edmonds, and Larry Walker. Now, look who we're trotting out there. No disrespect to them, but they're early in their careers. I mean, it's kind of amazing when you think about it.
Well, I think it shows the promise of those guys. I mean, I think, you know, to me, and I know this has been a fun year and everything, but I think it's going to be a better team next year than they are this year.
I agree.
Their offensive potential next year has a chance to be really off the charts. You know, because Gorman's going to be better. Carlson's going to be better. You're going to see Jordan Walker make his debut next year. You know, Edmund and Donovan are going to probably be about the same. And you could potentially have 8 really good offensive players, especially if O'Neill, you know, I'm not sure what his future is going to be here, but he's got to stay healthy for one thing. But if he could bounce back and play like he did in 2021, you know, you could have a really good eight solid offensive players. And then, you know, this nine spot would be your catcher. So, you know, I think I'm very bullish on the future of those guys. And the fact that they've had a step back maybe, you know, in some eyes for this year, I don't view that as a real, you know, long-term concern.
Rob, it's no secret. When it comes to the Cardinals, I'm driven by fear. And going into the Padres series, you know, I couldn't believe that the next Ted Williams hasn't hit for 6 weeks. Couldn't believe that Bell hasn't hit, that this lineup, this Padres lineup couldn't hit. And I feared that the switch would flip when the Cardinals came to town. I don't know that it did last night. Maybe it's the switch is in mid-flip right now. But that lineup still scares me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they're good hitting. Their pitching's not bad either. I mean, I think, you know, any of the three teams that there's going to be four, I think, one, you're not going to play Atlanta or the Mets in the first round. I mean, they're going to get that spot. But any of those other teams, the Phillies, the Brewers, or the Padres, is going to end up sixth as the sixth seed, the third wild card that the Cardinals would have to play. It's not going to be an easy matchup. I know potentially all three games could be at home. But still, I mean, they've got guys they could run out there, and we've seen it in the past. So it's they need to get things, you know, they got here, 13, 14 games left to get things kind of right the ship a little bit and be on an upward tick as they go into the playoffs, or it could be a very short stay.
Yeah, that's a good thought, especially out here in San Diego, because I don't know if you guys heard about maybe about 5 or 6 days ago, Bob Melvin, who is as even keel as any manager in baseball, really went off. Now, it's one thing when a manager like Tony La Russa goes off, or Lou Piniella. I should say Piniella would be a better example. It's no big deal. But when Melvin goes crazy on his team and calls players out, that's significant. And he did that. And since he did that, the Padres are 4-0. And with Soto and with this lineup, this is a scary team. And Clevinger looked good last night. Snell's a good pitcher. This team is very capable of going on an October run. And this is who the Cardinals may see in that first round, too. They're a dangerous proposition for the opposition.
Yeah, I think so. So I think, you know, that's another reason why the Cardinals need to win these games is knock the Padres back a little bit. You know, I mean, it may not would help their own position, even if it, you know, just to get the division clinched quicker. But, you know, you got to figure out who the best anticipate, you know, matchup that you want to play is. And I don't know the answer to that question. I don't really want to play any of those three guys. They all scare me. Bob might be, Bob's afraid now. What are you going to be afraid like? Afraid in
the. Yeah, I'm just going to be in a dark room cowering in the corner the whole time.
Another thought, Rob. A guy like Paul DeJong, whose statistics have just been brutal, did have a base hit Sunday. He's another guy that has a chance to control his own destiny because nobody's hitting. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be in the lineup tonight, or I think he's going to be in the lineup tonight with Blake Snell. So he gets a base hit. Maybe he plays the next game. What do you think about DeJong moving forward? And I'm not sure. I doubt if he's going to be on this roster next year. But he's got a chance to be your starting shortstop from here moving on. Now, if he goes 0-4, who knows? We may not see him again.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see him at some point because I think they like the fact that, you know, they can make those switches in the seventh or eighth inning with a lead and get him at short and put Edman back at second, which really strengthens the infield defense. You know, so I think he's going to have a role, but I think they're going to try to minimize the number of at-bats he has, kind of like the way they're playing DeLuzio in center, too, which you're lessen the need to have DeLuzio in center when you have Carlson in there, but as opposed to some of the other guys. But I think that, you know, he's got something to prove. I mean, there's you know, nothing's going to be easy about this postseason roster. I mean, I think you've got, you know, maybe four or five position players and maybe, you know, half a dozen pitchers that are all kind of up in limbo right now. There's a number of directions that they could go, especially when you get, you know, it's only a three-game series and, you know, so you question how many starting pitchers you're going to need when you want to set your, you know, bullpen up accordingly. So, you know, you can switch the roster around in between series if you win. So there's a lot of decisions to be made here about how they're gonna line this thing up.
Well, Rob,
all right, sir.
Rob, last thing for me, real quick, as the Cardinals go through this West Coast swing, and I mean, historically, that's always been a difficult one. But as you pointed out, you got a chance to get things right. Is there one thing, one spark to look for, other than Goldschmidt and Arenado? Is there one thing to kind of keep an eye on to sort of forecast how this thing might go with the way the offense is? I mean, if we get to the last week, if we get to October 1st and you still got nobody hitting, I mean, it's going to be pretty tough around here for us fans. So is there one thing you're looking for the rest of the week to say, okay, here's the spark they needed?
I would say it's the guys in front of Goldschmidt and Arenado. I mean, they by the Pujols there second in a couple of those games.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me if those other guys are struggling to see him go that route again to try to get him on base in front of those guys. But whoever's hitting his first and second, whether it's Edmund, Donovan, Pujols, whatever the combination is, they've got to get on base to give those guys a chance that they don't have to hit a home run to knock in a run.
Good stuff. Rob, we appreciate your time, sir. We'll talk soon.
All right, Frank. Thank you. Appreciate you guys. See you.
All right. We'll take a short time out.